The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. If you have one of the Bibles from the back of the pew, you can join me on page 896. John 10, 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is God's word.
Amen. You may be seated.
Things by Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. So glad to be here once again. I was here last summer, and it was a great time. I got to know some of you all. Some of you all have joined on my Facebook, and so we've been friends throughout the years. If I don't remember your name, if I miss you this morning, forgive me. But my name is Price, and if you heard in the summer, those of y'all who didn't hear, I'm going to say this so we can get out of the way. My last name is Wright. There is no is in the middle. I always like to clarify that. It's Price Wright. I pastor New City Church, Raytown. And I really enjoy being the pastor there. God's been blessing us. But I'm glad to be here. And one of the reasons I always mention is because I know the leaders of this church really care about the gospel. They really care about the word of God being taught well and rightly divided. And so it just brings my heart joy when I'm invited to be here, because it lets me know the relationships we have built over time really speak to that reality, right? And the way we want to carry the truth of God's word. So I promise you today what you're not going to hear is just my opinions all over the text. There will be some stories and things like that, but it is my hope that you hear the good news of Jesus Christ and the truth and the reality that he is the door, right? Jesus says, I am the door. So today we're going to talk about that. My wife is not here today. And that's because, if you're on my Facebook, you know, a month ago we had a new baby. And so we got, I said 3 children ago we was done. And so we're now on baby number 5. So now I have 5 children, and my oldest is 14, and then it's 4, 3, 2, and then a newborn. And so we got all ranges of ages. And so I love my family. They may be watching currently right now. If so, I love my wife and my kids. I'm sure they're probably not watching. They're probably on their iPads enjoying. And so with that said, I love my family, but they're not here this morning for that reason. My wife always wants to be with me wherever I go. And so it's always like pulling teeth for her. I hate missing, but I thank God for them. And that is my family. But you all are my family as well. And so this, there's an initiative going on around Kansas City that I've been a part of, and that's a part of the reason I'm here. As 1KC, where churches are going to different churches, and we're celebrating with others that we've built relationships with. Not just letting anybody go to my church and preach. It's a relationship built there that we're connected, and we're saying, under the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ, we truly believe and stand on the same ground. And so we're saying, hey, I want you to see some other people on the other side of town who really love God, who are speaking the same truth I'm speaking. Maybe you'll hear the gospel in a different way from somebody who's not me. 6'3", Price Wright, standing in front of you, about barking out things. And so, and with that said, there's the last thing I'll say. We'll jump into the text. With that said, I'm passionate. So please don't hear me today as if I'm screaming at you. It's hard for me to help the passion I have for Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. I love Jesus. And since I've been young, I've been walking with him. So if I get passionate today, I'm going to warn you early. forgive me, because I love the Lord and I don't mind getting a little passionate. I heard a friend say this, and I won't say it, but I'll say it. You know, in my old church that I grew up, when they said amen, the preachers didn't get done any faster. And so I'm not challenging you to say amen and all that, but I'm going to hold to my time. I'm going to hold to my time and try to finish up at 24 minutes, right? So with all that said, John 10 and 10, we just read it. And so I'm not going to read the entire thing, but I wanted to give some context to what's happening there in John 10, chapter 10, verse 1 through 10. And we read that scripture about the sheep and the shepherd and the gate and the sheepfold. We read that scripture there. But before that, what's happening in 9, Jesus is having a conversation, and he's just done an incredible miracle where he's healed the eyes of the blind. There's a blind man there in chapter 9. He's healed the blind man's eyes. And this is done in front of the teachers of that day, the Pharisees and Sadducees. They are there. And they are there to convict and condemn Jesus. They don't like Jesus. They're not excited about what Jesus is doing. And some of them just have questions about, like, what's really going on here? Who are you really? Answer our question. But overwhelmingly, there's some hard hearts that really are not appreciating what Jesus is doing, because they know more of the Jews are starting to believe in what Jesus is doing in that area of the world. And so Jesus is starting to do this miracle. He does the miracle. They're arguing with him. And so at the end of that chapter 9, Jesus is talking about spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. And I want you to bookmark that part right there. Spiritual blindness, right? Because that's not a focus of what we're talking about today. But there's something important about the end of that chapter. The interesting thing about chapter 9 and chapter 10 is they're actually really a one story. It's really one story that's together. And back in the early church, they would read everything was together. It was a scroll, right? They open a scroll and read it. But then the books were broken down into chapters and things like that for our benefit. But 9 and 10 are really one story. And so as Jesus is giving this whole depiction and he's orating all these things, he begins to share a figure of speech with the teachers of the day. And not only are the teachers of the day right there with him, but his disciples are there with him. Also, the crowd is there with him. So I want you just to get a picture of what's happening when Jesus is talking to them and about to share this figure of speech that he gives in John chapter 10. I won't read the whole thing, but I love how it starts with truly, truly. Verily, verily. That means something powerful is about to come right after that statement. That statement is used 26 times in the book of John. Verily, verily, right? Truly, truly. So you know what he's about to say is going to be real powerful. And then he begins to break down about the sheep. And I highlighted this part right here that we read earlier in verse 3. To him, the gatekeeper opens, right? It's talking about, but he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And then verse 3 says, to him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I highlighted that passage right there. Why did I highlight that? Because the sheep, they hear his voice. And what do? They respond to his voice. Sheep are responsive to the voice of the shepherd. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you've been born again by the blood of God, then that's the reason why we're together today, right? Because you're a child of God. I too am a child of God, a believer in the Lord Jesus. My salvation has come only because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's not by my works. It's not by any of that. It's by grace I am saved. It's a free gift that's been given to me. I've received that gift and I rejoice and talk loud like this because I really believe it. Jesus is the way, right? But Jesus says, right here, he says, if you really believe in him, right? He said, the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name. It's intentional. It's specific. The hairs on your head are numbered. Jesus knows your name. Before you were born, he knew who you would be. He knows the beginning and the end, right? He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows every step you're going to take. But it says he knows them and he calls them. So are you responding well to the voice of the Lord, spoken through the word, spoken through his people? When God is pouring into you, as the Holy Spirit moves you and leads you, as you're following God's will, are you responding well to what God is telling you and sharing with you? True sheep are not only just responsive, but they're just like sheep. They have processed and grown. They've been going through a process of growth in their spiritual lives. When sheep are born, they don't just immediately know the shepherd's voice. It takes some time for them to learn. It takes some time for them to begin to respond to the voice of the shepherd, right? To begin to know who they should go to and who they shouldn't go to. And just like that for us, when we're born again into Jesus, it takes some time and a process for us to really understand and know what the Word of God is speaking to us and what it's trying to tell us to do. And the more you grow in God, the more you grow in faith, the more you grow in spirit, the more you grow in hope, the more you'll begin to walk that narrow way that God has for you. And He'll do just what He said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God. He will make your path straight. He'll direct your path. And I love that scripture so much because I have applied that to my life. And that's real wisdom. That's what the shepherd is calling you to do, right? And we're talking about the door today, not so much the shepherd, but the shepherd, the good shepherd, is calling us to embrace His truth, His way. Allow Him to help you process and grow so you can hear His voice clearly and do what He calls you to do so you can experience abundant life that comes through Jesus Christ, right? If you've received Jesus, you're already saved. But He wants you to experience abundant life in Him as you continue just to flow and grow from that place of grace that comes through Jesus alone. So process of growth is a big deal, and being responsive is a really big deal. But Jesus is the door. So Pastor Price, where are you going with this? How is Jesus the door? It says, again, this was a figure of speech. And in chapter 9, remember, we was talking about spiritual concepts, right? I told you to put a bookmark by spiritual blindness, the spiritual blindness. They didn't get what He meant by spiritual blindness. They didn't get what He was saying when He started speaking about that. And then we went further to talk about the sheep gate, which, let me clarify something, I almost missed this. The actual pen of the sheep was stones stacked on top of each other. They were not 6'3", overwhelmingly, when you talk about a sheep gate. It wasn't like as tall as I am. Normally, it was about 5 foot, about 4.5 feet. It was a little bit higher than that, so that the sheep couldn't get out. The sheep weren't known for going to jump over the gate necessarily, because they would take it and they would stack those stones up on top of one another, and the shepherd would create the pen the way he wanted to. Sometimes rectangular, sometimes circle, sometimes. But at the end of that whole entire gate, say he made it circular, at the front of that was a narrow way. There was a gate there, and there was a door on that gate. And on the door on that gate, that's where the under shepherd would stay at nighttime to ensure that nobody got in to try to steal from the door. And also the shepherd would come to open the door so that the sheep could go out in the daytime to graze the rest of the pasture, right? So let's make sure we got this whole context before I go back to 9, because this is what it's talking about. God has given us over our hearts. He is the door. He is the one that guards our hearts and keeps our hearts and brings us perfect peace, right? He is the one. And He doesn't block us from the world and from the troubles and from all those things. He doesn't block us from suffering that come and can come and things like that, or people that's aiming at us. He doesn't necessarily block us, but He guards our hearts and keeps our minds in perfect peace as we keep our minds stayed on Him. You all may know my other memory verse from last year that I said wrong. I think I said Isaiah 23 and 6. It's Isaiah 26 and 3. Which says those that keep their minds on the Lord will have perfect peace. And Jesus is the one that guards the door of your heart, but also He is the one that opens so that as you go in and out, you're continuing to sustain and maintain that peace that comes through only Christ. So that's a spiritual concept. And at the end of 9, as He talks about these spiritual concepts, as He's trying to get them to understand there is a depth to Jesus, right? It's beyond just surface. It's deeper. If you want to really know Jesus, you got to go deep into the well. But some people, they're going to the well and they have no bucket. Some people go to the well, they just don't want to go down. They don't want to dig. But God says, man, if you dig into me, you're going to get rivers, the flow of living water. And when you drink from the water I have, you're going to never thirst again, because He is the living water, right? And so God wants us to get that spiritual depth. And here's why. Spiritual depth, D-E-P-T-H, right? Not death. Spiritual depth, right, is deep. God wants us to get that, because when we get that, we get the best experience in connection with what Jesus wants for us, right? So the question I had here was, is there living water in your spiritual well, in your heart, in the depth of your heart? I'll ask the question again. Is there living water in your spiritual well, in the depth of your heart? Do you have the life of Christ flowing through you? Because if you do, you should be impacting and touching others, not selfishly holding it, not keeping it to yourself. But we have to go forward and begin to share that truth with others and give someone else a little water, right? Because they need that water as well. And that's a calling God has given us. That's a part of the Great Commission God has given us, to go and to share the water that we have, the living water, with others. So it says this in verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, this is John chapter 10, verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, there it is again, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. When you think about that gate, there were thieves that would go over the gate to grab the sheep and take them over to take care of their own selfish desires and needs. What is Jesus talking about with the robbers and the thieves? He's talking about the teachers of that day that were putting weights on people's back that was way too much to bear. They were using the law of Moses, which was a shadow of things to come, for their own profit and for their own selfish desires. So they would come in and they would try to take the sheep and put weights on them and cut them and kill them and all these different things, right? Not literally, spiritually, they were weighing them down and they're really suffocating them spiritually, right? And so it says that the thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. I love Matthew 7 and 14. It says Jesus is the way. And the way is narrow. It's a narrow way that leads to life. I love the depiction of this owl right here that I could see where the door is. And I could see there's pews on both sides. But it's a very narrow way to get to the back door. And the back door is huge. It's big, right? But there's a straight way. There's many people in this world that want to take a lot of different paths to try to get to God. But God has made it very clear that he is the only way to get to the Father. He is the only way to get real life. There is no other way. I don't care what you've been told by YouTube gurus and people on Facebook. God says that I am the only way, the truth, and the life, and there is no way to the Father but by me. Guess what? I don't have to talk about things that are not true, because the truth will always stand. And through the years, the truth of God's word has stood very clearly that he is the only way. And when you take that path towards where Jesus wants you to be, your heart is going to explode with the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, patience, peace, self-control, right? All those things are going to explode when you are following the path that God has for you. And he is the door that you have to enter through, just like that gate. You're not going over the wall. You're not breaking down the bricks in the back. You have to go through the door, and Christ is the door. On my home, I just put a Ring doorbell, or just a new Ring doorbell, and I like it a lot. Because when the pizza man is coming, or when the mailman is coming, or when whoever's coming, I can kind of see who it is. And I got 5 kids, and my kids have learned how to unlock the door. And so what I love having Ring, because what my kids used to do before I got Ring is we have a downstairs playpen area. They would run up the stairs because I'm not fast anymore. I cannot run like my children anymore. They would run real fast and go to the door, and what they would do is look out the window first and see who it is. And in this day and time we live in, I wasn't super happy about that because the window is pretty low and it's just kind of it's craziness that happens in our world. And so I was always concerned. But then when they got to the place where they could actually put a chair, unlock the door and open it, we had to put some things on the door to try to stop them. And I know you're saying, Pastor Price, where in the world are you going with this? I thought you was talking about the door. I am. That door there is the thing that lets me in and out of my house. I didn't put a hollow core door on my front door. I put a very solid core door on my front door because I wanted to make sure there was something there that would guard against the elements, against people, against my kids just being able to push it down, against somebody who might want to just come and break it, right? I wanted to make sure it was solid. But here's the amazing thing about Jesus. He's more than just a hardcore, just super core door. Jesus is the way, the truth, right? He's the one that not only guards our hearts, but gives us the direction to know we can come in and out. He's going to bless us in our homes, right? Because he makes his residence with us. He's gonna bless us when he's with us, when things are good, when everything is okay, and whether we're rich, poor, whatever, he's gonna bless us there, and he's gonna bless us when we're out of seasons and we're in the world and we're doing things and there's people around us. He's gonna be with us even in those moments, whether we're in or out of the gathering of believers, he's gonna be right there with us. And he is that door that is protecting the deepest thing he has for us, which is our hearts. When you look at scripture, God, it's not just like whatever. God is focused on your heart. Many of you all in here today, you really need to assess, where is your heart posture? In worship, when they're singing, it's not about you all lifting your hands, whatever. Where is your heart posture towards God? In your daily living, towards your family, your kids, your wife, your husband, where is your heart's posture towards God? Because your heart posture, that's what God is looking for. Remember in scripture with Saul, how he was tall and he looked good. He looked very kingly, but there were some things that were concerning in his heart. And here David was in the field taking care of sheep, right? Here David was, you see the sheep, the shepherd's job has done a whole lot, right? David was out there in the sheep field with the pen in the sheep gate doing his thing out there. His heart was right. He was a man after God's own heart. Many of you, I accepted God at a young age. I was super young when I accepted God. I embraced the good news of Jesus. I heard it and the Holy Spirit pierced my heart and I received it and I accepted it and I ran through that door and I really didn't know what I was fully doing, but I knew the Holy Spirit, that's where God was and I wanted to be where God was and God has blessed me from that. I don't care who you are or where you are, God wants your heart. And he says, I've given you the free gift. All you have to do is receive it. And when you receive my son, when you receive his grace, his love, his mercy, his truth, when you receive that, man, your heart is going to be changed, right? Because here's the beautiful thing about the gospel is that you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And it's a miracle that you've come alive in God. The fact that your heart might be tingling right now, whether you know him or not, whether you're born again or not, man, the fact that you're confirming what I'm saying is a guaranteed proof that the Holy Spirit is active, alive, and real. Because you can only be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the power of God. We were born into sin. The wage, the pay for sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Once again, he is the door. So I thank God for my door. My home door especially. That protects my kids from running out into the street. I thank God for that. But I thank God even more for the door of Christ to my heart that allows me to be able to live the way I live and have the mind that I have, not because I'm so good, but because God is so good. I have any witnesses in here that God is good, that God is faithful? He's faithful. He's faithful and he's true, right? In verse 9, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. That's that blessed assurance that we have salvation through God. I said this in the first service. I'll say it again. The Bible doesn't say you must be born again and again and again. It never says that. Never has that point, and I'm not making any other points. I'm just saying you'll never find it where it says you must be born again and again. I have never seen that as I've studied and looked, but it does say you must be born again. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Have you been born again? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? It's very important that you know that because he is the only way. It says he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the door. The Greek word for that is thura. The opportunity. I love that word, the door, the opportunity, right? You have an opportunity to receive God into your life. Through the opportunity, the door. You have an opportunity to know who God is in this life and to receive eternal life and to run in this life with eternity. And the minute you receive Jesus Christ, the minute you accept Jesus Christ, eternity for you begins at that moment. Your life is now new. Your mind is changed. Now you have a chance to run the way God wants you to join him on missions that he's doing. You have an opportunity to affect change and bring change to the world through the power of Jesus Christ as you trust his spirit in you to do incredible things. But that happens when you take the opportunity, when you take the door, and when you allow Jesus to open and close the things in your life that need to be there. He's going to help you make better decisions. Maybe you're saying, man, I just don't make good decisions. I keep tripping up. I keep going the wrong way. But God is saying, man, if you trust me, if you take my word in your heart, if you meditate on it day and night, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God is saying, do you trust me? Will you allow me to lead you where you need to be? And then will you share me with someone else? Here's the final thing I want to leave you with. Jesus' body essentially was stretched out for us at the gate, right? He's the keeper. Without him, he wouldn't have that door. We wouldn't have that gate. Many of you all know the good news of Jesus Christ. It says this in Hebrews 10 and 1. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. When I'm thinking about Christ and his sacrifice and what he's done for us to be the door to the greater things in God, I'm reminded of Moses and all those sacrifices and all those things that they gave, all those things they did. And it says it right here. It can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. All those things they did, all those laws, all the stuff, it was all a shadow. Jesus was set to be the official sacrifice to take on all the sins of the world. And because he's done that, now we have life, right? He said, man, Pastor, I don't understand this whole Jesus thing. Jesus says, man, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, that you will be saved. Romans 10 and 9, I'm going to read it. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He will become the doorkeeper of your heart. He will be the one to help you have life and experience the ins and outs, right? The beauty of abundance that he has for you inside of the gate and outside, right? He's going to be the one to help you through good times and bad, whether rich or poor. He's going to keep you in perfect peace. He's going to give you direction. He's going to help you have the plan that he's given, that he's going to solidify, that he's going to bless. For with the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Every one of us in here needs Jesus. There's no person sitting in these seats that doesn't need what Jesus has to offer. He's the gift. He's the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one that's going to give you the plan of success that you need in your spirit. If you're thinking about the plan of success that's going to bless your pockets, I'm here to tell you, God is not about your plan. He's about his will. His kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But the beauty of that is when you line your mind up with his will, man, you start sensing that, man, there are great things that God wants for you in this life. So will you line your mind up with his will? That's hard. You've got to lay your will down. You got to lay your wants down at the feet of Jesus. You have to embrace and accept what he wants for you, what he desires for you. And it's only going to be found in the word of God. It's active and it's alive. When you open up those pages, it's going to speak to your heart. When you begin to dive in those pages and go through the stories, you're going to sense, how did he take the door and turn it all into that? Because God is going to speak to you directly and clearly. It's not going to say something different for everyone. You may feel different about it, but God's word has spoken very clearly. And you may pull some nuggets out that maybe I didn't pull out yet, because the Spirit may inspire something in you, but God's word is set, is solid, and it's rooted. No matter how hard they try to fight against it, God's way is the way. And the quicker you believe that, the more fruit you're going to see in your heart, the more joy you're going to sense in your life. I'm sensing it right now. My family is growing, and everything we have in our lives and our love we share, it's real. My wife and our relationship, it's real. It's wonderful. And it's all because of what Jesus has done in our hearts. It's not because we're so great. Our church is exponentially growing. Not because I'm so great, but because we're doing what Jesus called. We're making disciples. We're reaching out. We're sharing the good news. We're giving water to others. And so people are coming to the gathering because of relationships. I'm here today because of a relationship, right? I'm connected to Jason and to Carson because of relationship. What relationships are you investing in with the good news of Jesus Christ? Who are you sharing the good news with? Who are you helping drink the living water? Because the more you're doing that, the more you're going to be honoring what God has said. And it's not going to help save you, because Jesus has saved you, but you will sense that growth. You will sense that process. You will see that extra steps of faith. All right? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much today for your goodness, for your word. Thank you for the clarity, the truth that comes through the gospel. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have reminded us that you are the door, you are the gateway to life, and the only way we can get there is by you. Thank you, God, for the reminder that you are the sacrifice for us. You atoned for our sins, God. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us, that keeps us, God, even when we don't feel we can be kept. God, thank you for your word that says you will complete the good work that you have began in us. I just give you praise because you're faithful. And I pray for every one of your people that's heard the word today, whether young or old, or those in the middle, that they would embrace your truth and they would allow you to lead them down the narrow pathway that leads to life. And I pray even more that they would grow exponentially and that they would reproduce themselves and share with someone else the truth of the gospel. Just give you praise and honor today. In Jesus' mighty name, let the church say amen.
Amen.